My grandma turned 93 a few days ago. She's a wonderful woman, witty, very smart, and still spry for her age, and I respect her a lot. But she's never, ever voted before, never even registered to vote. I know it's not because she couldn't understand how a voting booth worked or because she never had the time, but because back when she was born and growing up, women did not vote. They generally could not vote. We, speaking for my gender now, were not officially allowed to cast a ballot for president until 1920, just 80 years ago, when states ratified the 19th Amendment, making it unconstitutional to deny the vote to women. I think of my grandma especially this election year, when women are supposed to play such a pivotal role in the outcome of the presidential race. When I was little and my grandma would explain that she'd never voted, I'd cringe. That feeling drove my interest in politics, I think, realizing that a woman I know, a woman still on earth, was alive when women could not vote. And so it's especially difficult for me to hear young people, young women especially, say they will not vote this week, for whatever reason. Perhaps they need to be reminded of what it was like. Hear the language from the courts back then. What would they say, for example, to Virginia Minor, a woman from Missouri who in 1872 attempted to register to vote in a national election? The registrar refused to allow it because the Missouri Constitution promised only male citizens the right to vote. And the U.S. Supreme Court decided that was perfectly okay under the Constitution. Women are citizens, but all citizens don't necessarily have the right to vote, the justices wrote, even under the 14th Amendment's Equal Protection Guarantee. Sorry, Mrs. Minor, equal protection doesn't include voting rights for women because the Constitution doesn't grant women the right to vote and never did, so the court wrote in 1874. That same year, Michigan male voters resoundingly rejected women's suffrage by a 3-to-1 margin. In the Virginia Minor case, the court repeats the language of various state constitutions. New Hampshire, Massachusetts, Pennsylvania, Maryland, Kentucky, Tennessee, the Carolinas. Men have the right to vote. Men have the right to vote. Men have the right to vote. By 1892, New York and several other states recognized women's right to vote in school board elections only. But politicians challenged even that consolation prize when women's votes led to their opponents' victories. They argued that the statute allowing women to vote in school board elections was unconstitutional because the New York Constitution gave only men the right to vote. They lost in one case, but won in another. Other states gave women the right to vote, but readily took it away. New Jersey women could vote initially, but in 1807, New Jersey legislators thought better of it and took away the right for, quoting here, the dignity of the state. In 1915, women in California could vote, but not if they married a man from another country, even though the couple continued to live in California. In the eyes of the law, the woman had taken her husband's nationality when they wed. No longer a citizen, no right to vote. But perhaps the most poignant of all the voting cases involving women is one from Michigan from the turn of the century. A woman named Mary Abbott won a race for county prosecutor, and her opponent challenged her victory, arguing that because Mary Abbott couldn't vote, she couldn't hold elected office. The Michigan Supreme Court agreed with cases from Massachusetts and Kentucky. It necessarily follows that when women are excluded from the right to vote, they are also excluded from the right to hold the offices voted for. So the Michigan Supreme Court ordered that Mary Abbott be ousted from her prosecutor's job. In the end, she lost an election she'd really won. So you'll see me at the voting booth this week because of Mary Abbott and Virginia Minor and my grandma, who I hope will vote by absentee ballot next election. I'm Amy Guida.